Certainly, it's good to see everybody this morning. Good to see some very familiar and loved faces back with us again this morning, and have a few visitors as well. Again, it's a blessing to see all of y'all this morning. I'm going to start things off a little bit differently this morning. If you would turn over to number 646 in your songbook, make sure that's the right number. 646. And while you're turning over there, I'm going to mention real fast, there is a card designed for the Timmons in the back. Just tell them that we love you and give our well wishes for them. But there is also a card for our two new sisters in Christ, Maddie and Emmy, back there as well. We sure would love for you to take a moment and sign those and just give them, just let them know that you love them and encouragement in that way. And I want to start off by singing 646 this morning. I want y'all to go ahead and stand. Let's shake our legs out a little bit. Let's stand for this song. And I'm not really great at reading music, and so I'm not sure that I sing this song exactly how it's written here, but we're going to just get into it and hold on tightly, all right? So 646, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you will answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts all aflame. Let me humble my pride and call upon your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes fixed on you. Let me be on this earth what you want me to be. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I love that song. What a comforting thought. They will mount up like wings, like eagles. What a comforting thought that is. What an amazing thing to say. It really kind of gives me goosebumps to sing that. But what's really neat about this is it's not just artistic, you know, words or poetic words that are put together for a song, but these are quotations from Scripture. Isaiah chapter 40 is where we're going to be at this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 28 says, the Lord, through Isaiah, says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and they will not become weary. What's beautiful about this section of Scripture here in Isaiah chapter 40 is this is one of the many thoughts that we have presented for us within this chapter. And it's really just kind of a, as we go through, and we're going to read the whole of Isaiah chapter 40 this morning, it's kind of a like a hall of fame of just really beautiful thoughts and ideas, just things that as we read through it, that you'll say, hey, I've heard that before. And just like what we read here in Isaiah chapter 40, this or in these few verses, they will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. This idea of assurance, a lot of these verses are centered around certainty. And that makes sense, because this is prophecy. I guess really to clarify here, it's God's prophecy. And so everything that God says will happen. And we see that all throughout the prophets. So there's a lot of thoughts of certainty that are expressed within this chapter. There's a thought or the idea, the fact, certainly that God is not like anything else, anybody else. There is no other God. Certainly the promises of God are unshakable. And certainly God is going to be there for his people. And it's a very comforting chapter. But at the time that this is written, in the days of Isaiah, it may not have seemed all that comforting. In fact, it may not have made a whole lot of sense, because during the days of Isaiah, whenever he's speaking these words, Israel had not quite hit that low that Isaiah looked forward to, or not looked forward to as in hoped for it, but the low that Isaiah was going to come for this people. Now, spiritually, they were there. They really had fallen away from God. But as far as the punishment that God spoke through his prophets that this physical people of Israel were going to face, it'd still be a little bit before they hit that point. But Isaiah looked forward to that point, and he said they would certainly go through that time, through that punishment for their sins, and they certainly did. And we see later on when this happens is during the days of Babylon. One of the great examples that we see in Isaiah of him looking forward and talking about this happening is actually with a conversation that he records him having with the king Hezekiah at the time in Isaiah chapter 39. Isaiah chapter 39 in verse 6, I guess just kind of as a setting of where we're at this point. King Hezekiah at the time, he has some envoys from a nation called Babylon come and visit his kingdom, and he shows them all his wealth, shows them all the riches. And Isaiah points this out in Isaiah 39 and verse 6. He says, "Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord, and some of your sons who will issue from you, whom you will beget, will be taken away, and they will become officials in the palace of the king of Babylon." And this is over and over again. Isaiah talks about, he talks about Babylon being punished for the role that they played in punishing Israel, and we see that a lot. But we do see what is being talked about here with Babylon does happen in the history of Israel. And so the Israelites are taken away to Babylon as punishment for sin. But here in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah looks forward to that period or to that day. And he says that whenever this comes, this people can be comforted, or God's people can be comforted. Isaiah 40 and verse 1. "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hands double for all of her sins." So we see that Jerusalem or God's people will be comforted because the guilt has been removed. They're no longer guilty of their sins. Now, why is it that they've been forgiven of this, or why is it that this guilt has been removed? Well, we see in the days of physical Israel is because they received the punishment for their sins. They were destroyed. They were taken into captivity. But what happens during this time, and what Isaiah talks about, just the different images that he gives in all of his prophecies, it just reminds me of a wasteland. After Babylon attacked Israel, it seems that this land was just devastated. And it was really a pretty good reflection on how this land had been devastated by sin and the burden of it. But they are devastated by punishment. So they're told that it was going to happen, that they were going to be destroyed. And really what catches my eye whenever we read through the prophets is that they're told over and over and over again that this is going to happen. Certainty that God tells them that this is going to happen, and they never take it to heart. They hear it. They hear, we're going to be destroyed. We're going to go through this punishment. And again, they're just told over and over again, and they never listen. And how many of us would continue trying in that instance? I don't know that I would. I'd say, all right, well, I'll just give up. But God never does. He continues to speak, and he says that he is going to make this wasteland fruitful. And Isaiah looks forward to that point, and not just that God is going to have a role in comforting his people, and that God is going to have a role in helping out his people, but and that it's just going to be according to his will, but he is going to personally rescue his people and save his people. Isaiah 40 and verse 3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all of its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And again, we have this message of certainty. Everything in this world fades away. Everything goes away. You and I are going to go away. The grass of the field goes away. Everything physical on this earth goes away. But the things that God has spoken from the very beginning, from the time that we read, God created the heavens and the earth, all of that has never passed away. That is still there for us to see, and it will still be there to the very end. We know that God's word comes true and will come true. And with that, God points out to the prophet Isaiah, I am going to come. It is I who am going to come and save my people. We have this image that's given to us, somebody calling out, make way the path for, and the image is to kind of make way for a king. If you were to, if you had a king that was coming through your land, you would try your best to make that path as well as you can for him. But the king that we're told about in this passage is God himself. That God is the one who's coming. And again, he gives us this assurance that his word does not fail. It is me who is going to come. That may take some time, but it's going to happen. And I think that's important to remember. But think about how big of a news that is. How huge of news that is. The fact that God is coming. And it is those who realize that and who experience it in its fullest that will be most affected by this. Isaiah 40 and verse 9. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily. O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead the nursing ewes. Zion here, Jerusalem here, is used as representation of God's people. It's God's people, those that he has come to save, those who he has come to rescue that are being talked about here. And Isaiah looks forward to them and he says, they are going to say to all those surrounding them this good news. They are going to announce good news to them. And here's the news. The news is God has come. And the news is here is God. God who makes whole, here is God who takes care of his people, here is God who is like a shepherd taking care of his sheep. That is the message that is being proclaimed. Here is God, and he is unlike any other God. Verse 12 of Isaiah 40. Who has, and listen to this. You can tell I'm getting fired up reading this. Listen to this. Listen to God, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens by the span, and has calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and informed him of the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom will you then liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? As for the idol, a craftsman crafts it, casts it. A goldsmith plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions chains of silver. He who is too impoverished for such an offering selects a tree that does not rot, and he seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the very beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stalk taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them, and they wither. And the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, he who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number, he calls them all by name, because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Can you imagine a message greater than here is your God? This is your God. This is our God. This can be your God. And it's certain that this God, when we read through this, that this God is not weak. He is not powerless. And this is important because Isaiah looks forward to a people that are going to go through hardship and they're going to question that. And they're going to wonder if God is really seeing them. Isaiah 40 and verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord, and that the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? And God, in view of all of that's been said and of this question, gives this assurance in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, the God that we just read about, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up like with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and they will not become weary. What a blessing it would be for a people who are struggling and a people who are facing their darkest moments to realize that God has given you assurance. That God is there. All of that power that we just read about, that God has, is there for you. And it would be so comforting to know that it was there for you now. Now, as for the physical promises that God made the people of Israel through Isaiah, he certainly did answer them. He did not just abandon his physical people whenever they went to Babylon. He did certainly answer all of these promises, and he brought the people back to their land and did give payment back to the Babylonians in the hand of the Persians. Isaiah chapter 13 talks about that, if you'd like to go back and look at that later, but tells about how the Babylonians are going to receive due payment for what they've done to God's people from God through the Persians. And all of this we can look at. The facts that, yes, God did answer these physical promises to Israel. Yes, God did bring punishment onto Israel. Yes, he did give punishment to those who he said he was going to give punishment to. We can look at all of these things and know, with our point of view, looking back at the history that we know, the assurance that God was going to do what he's really talking about here in Isaiah chapter 40. Again, we see in verses 3 through 5, we see this talking about this voice crying out in the wilderness. And, that seems so strange to me whenever you first read through it. But then we come into the New Testament and we see that there is a body that's put to that voice that's calling out to in the wilderness. And that body is John. And John came into this world preparing the way for who? What is it that we, and this is quoted in all of the Gospels, we see it in all of the Gospels that it was quoted that John came to fulfill this scripture. But who was it that we saw in Isaiah chapter 40 this voice was coming to prepare the way for? Well, Jesus is the one who came. And Jesus came with miracles. Jesus came fulfilling scripture. Jesus came dying on a cross. Jesus came being resurrected from the dead in order to do what? In order to proclaim, here is God. Here is God. Here is God who came to shepherd his people. Here is God who has come to save. We did not have to go through, we see here in Isaiah chapter 40 that this people had to go through double their punishment. If we had to go through the punishment for what we've done in life, we would not stand. We would not make it. There's a lot of people who will not. But Jesus suffered that punishment for us. And we see in 1 Peter chapter 1 the immensity of this salvation that we have. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. You are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who, through him, we are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Feel like we read that somewhere? Again, this Hall of Fame verses. I mean, these verses that should be highlighted within our Bible, but highlighted within our hearts. These wonderful things that God gave to comfort people. They're talking about our time. Looking forward to the time of Christ. And sometimes it's hard for me to get across exactly what I'm trying to say. But what I want us all to understand this morning is that should strike us differently. And these words that we read here in Isaiah chapter 40 should strike us differently. Yes, the Lord is there for us when we need help. And the Lord is there for us when we are in our darkest moments. And the Lord is there for us to give us strength when we have none. But also, whenever we read about those who wait on the Lord, again, think about what is given to those. Those that wait on the Lord are given power. Those who wait on the Lord, or we're waiting for the Lord, they're giving strength. They're given wings like eagle. But the thing is that the Lord has come in Jesus Christ. That was what the world was waiting. That was what Isaiah was looking forward to. He was looking forward to Jesus coming. And Jesus will come again. And we still wait for God. We still wait for Jesus to come again. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. We wait for Jesus, who is going to save us from the wrath to come. He's going to establish our true home with him. We're going to have eternal peace and life with Jesus Christ. But we see this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? In verse 11, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. It is not that we are just waiting for the Lord, but we who have taken on Christ in baptism, we are waiting in the Lord. That's completely different. And I hope we all see that this morning. In Christ, I mean, you think about all, in Christ, in the Lord, you think about all the blessings that we have, all the blessings that God has taken the time to tell us that we have within His Word in Christ Jesus, all the spiritual wisdom, all the blessings in Christ Jesus, peace and justification with God, the power of the gospel. We are no longer in a time of weakness and exhaustion, but we have power. The power that comes through Christ Jesus. We are not waiting like a defeated nation, like a nation who has been burdened by their sin and who has had to suffer for their sin. But Christ Jesus has given us wings like eagles. We no longer have to be weary. We no longer have to be exhausted because we have something and someone to live for and to give us strength. And he gives us a way in which to live and a purpose, doing the good works as his workmanship in Christ Jesus, and also spreading the gospel, just like God said his people would. We still wait for the Lord. And we're waiting for a pretty exciting time. We're looking forward to that. But it's a wait that has a whole lot of action in it. It should have a whole lot of action in it. I think I personally need to have a bigger idea of what this life has that God has given me through Christ Jesus means. And I think it kind of starts off with me having a bigger idea of God. We live in the age of insurance, where everything is insured. We got to have insurance for everything, and we take comfort in that, right? If something bad happens, we know that we're taken care of. And sometimes I tend to think of God as just that, just insurance. That if bad things come, He'll be there. And that's true, and praise God that it is true. But even more than that, He gives us assurance versus insurance. He tells us truths beforehand, and then they come to pass, to assure us. He gives us His promises to assure us. He gives us His power to assure us. And what He assured us back in Isaiah chapter 40 is that when I come to my people, I am going to give them strength, and they are going to use that strength. God has come. And many of us this morning have been baptized into His people. And if we face the worst times in our life, God is going to be there. And praise God, and He is going to give us strength. But bad or good, He is going to be there. And He is not a safety net as much as He is our power to go through this life. God who holds the world in His hands, who we just read in Isaiah chapter 40, who, I mean, we can't even comprehend the things that are said about God. We can say to the surrounding people, this is God, and this can be your God. And above all, we need to be saying to ourselves, this is our God. What does it say that is going to hold back the people of Jerusalem, of Zion, in Isaiah chapter 40, proclaiming this good news? Nothing. God says, do not fear. Why do not fear? Because this God is your God. He says that to me. Thousands of years before I came into existence. He said that to me, do not be afraid. I am your God. You are not weak. You are not helpless. You have my power to glorify me. And I don't know about you, but I think that's the message that I really need to take to heart. There is going to be a time of perfection. There is going to be a time where every tear is wiped away. There's going to be a time that we wait for. But the thing that we do not have to wait for is to make the most of the time that we have now, that God has given us to be stewards of. Because just like we sang in this song to begin with, and I think it's a really good thought, the prayer was, let me be on this earth what you want me to be. And what is it that God wants us to be? He wants us to be His children. He wants to save us. He wants to help us. But He also wants to make this wasteland fruitful. We who you know, I guess I'll speak for myself. I was not very fruitful in my life in any sort of way. God desires me to bear His fruit now. And that's fruit that is incomparable because our God is incomparable. God looked forward to a time. That time is now. We still look forward to a time, but our time that God has given us in Christ Jesus is now. And so our prayer is, teach me, Lord, to wait. But may that wait be with purpose. May that wait be with meaning. May that wait be where I am mounted on the wings of an eagle that Jesus Christ gives me. And may I proclaim and show everyone the good news. Here is your God. If you have been struck by that good news this morning and you would like to take on this Lord God in baptism this morning, please come forward. Always standing as we sing.